Good morning. If you would open your Bibles to Psalm 84. A psalm by the sons of Korah. It reads, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young." Where's that place? "Well, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield. And look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing he will withhold from those who walk uprightly." And Father, we pray as we look at this portion of Scripture today that you would please teach us from it. We pray, Lord, whenever we open your word, our goal should be to receive life application, things that we could apply to our own lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts that are open, minds that are tuned in. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I want to begin by asking you a question, and the question might seem strange. The question is this: are you a they? Now, I know that's really weird in our culture today, you know, to ask a question like that, but let me explain what I mean by this. They will still be praising you, verse 4. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring, verse 6. They go from strength to strength, verse 7. Are you a they? Maybe a better way to ask the question is this: have you placed your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ? You know, guys, the Bible, it would be wonderful if you could just open it up and it's applicable to everyone, but it's really not. It's applicable, it's something that could be applied to the life of the believer. But the non-believer, they're really an outsider. So this is a question that we need to take seriously. Am I a they? Am I someone who's placed my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Am I trusting in him for my salvation, for my life, for my strength? You know, as you read through this psalm, I think it's apparent that this unknown, because we really don't know the name of the fellow. We just know it was the sons of Korah. But we could see that this unknown author was someone who had a real passion for the Lord. He longed for, he fainted after the courts of the Lord. He was envious of the sparrow and the swallow and the doorkeeper because of the nearness of the place of worship, the worship of God. Verse 5, look what it says there. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Now, I like, you know, to look at words. I mean, the scriptures, of course, they weren't written in English. They were written in Hebrew and Greek, and we have a little Aramaic. But I like to look at different words. And that word that we see here for strength, whose strength is in you, the word literally means force, security, majesty, praise. So it says, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the person, blessed is the believer whose strength is in the Lord. whose force, whose security, whose majesty, whose praise is in the Lord. Paul wrote, you guys know this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's right. You know, guys, it doesn't matter how strong we may be, our strength will fail. But his strength will never, ever fail. I'm going to read a portion of scripture. Again, you know this. You guys have been well taught. But it's Isaiah chapter 40. You could turn there if you're really fast, but I'm just going to read it so you could listen. Isaiah, speaking of the Lord, he says, have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Listen, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but I need to remind myself of the strength that I have in the Lord, especially in the days in which we're living, because there are many things that could cause us to become discouraged, to feel like things are being taken away from us. And we need this biblical perspective. No, nothing's being taken away. The Lord is still on the throne. The Lord is my strength. The psalmist writes in verse 5, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. So obviously, if you can kind of picture this, if maybe you've been to Israel, or maybe you've seen videos or films on Israel. There's so many out there. But the author, no doubt, is picturing a pilgrim making his way, her way, to Jerusalem, to the tabernacle, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. By the way, as Christians, we're pilgrims in this land. This is not our home. I hope it's not your home. It's not my home. Paul reminds us our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's not something I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the Lord. Guys, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, you know, when this psalm was written, Jerusalem really was the Temple Mount. And Jerusalem is interesting because it has three valleys around Jerusalem, or around the Temple Mount. And so in order to get to the Temple Mount, no doubt, unless you went from the south, I believe it is, you would have to go through a valley. And I think it's interesting to note that the three valleys that are around this kind of U shape around Jerusalem, or around the Temple Mount, the shape is similar to the Hebrew letter Shin. And because of this valley that's there, they have a natural defense. You know, if you were going to attack Jerusalem, attack the Temple Mount, you'd have to go through one of these valleys, or again, approach from the south, I believe it is. Some say that it's not a natural defense, but it's a supernatural defense. And they point out the fact that Shin, S-I-N, S-H-I-N, excuse me, forms the first part of God's name El Shaddai. Do you know what El Shaddai means? The God who protects. And so even in the location, the geography of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, they believe that this is the Lord saying, I will protect you. I've got you covered. There are many valleys mentioned in the Bible. There's the Valley of Rephaim, which is the Valley of Giants. It sounds like a valley with big problems to me. And there's the Valley of Salt. That sounds like a thirsty place. And there's the Valley of Decision. It sounds like a place where one makes up their mind. And then there's the Valley of the Shadow of Death, a place where one contemplates death. And then our valley today, there's the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca is the Valley of Weeping. That's what baka means, weeping. In this life, we're going to pass through many valleys. Have you realized that yet? We pass through the valleys of giant things too big for us to handle on our own. We pass through the valley of thirsty things, times, maybe spiritual dryness. You ever experience that? Spiritual dryness, barrenness. We'll pass through the valley of decisions, prayerfully seeking the Lord and His will. We'll pass through the valley of the shadow of death, either for ourselves or with others. It's inevitable. And we'll pass through the valley of baka, the valley of weeping, perhaps many times in our pilgrimage. Are you there today? Maybe you're there today, the valley of baka. It says, as they pass through the valley of baka, they, who? I think it's even those, or should I say, especially those who long, yes, even faint for the Lord. There is something that the non-believer cannot experience. There is a depth of emotion, a depth of feeling that the Christian has. We grieve over things that the non-believer would never grieve over. The believer grieves over sin. The non-believer doesn't grieve over sin. They would just say, you know, people are just being people. It is what it is. But the believer grieves over this because we know we have the Spirit of the living God living within us, and we know that things should be better. And one day they will be better. And so we grieve. The valley is what? Geographically, a low place. I used to live, when I was a kid, lived in Poway in San Diego. That's a valley. And then when my wife and I moved to Northern California, we lived in Grass Valley. That's a valley. It's a low place. You have mountains all around you. It's a low place. And the Valley of Baca, obviously, is speaking of a low place emotionally, maybe a low place spiritually. It's a low place, and it's a hard place because it's a place of weeping. Baca. You say, boy, this is a cheerful teaching. Listen, I'm just telling you, this is what we face. I remember as a young Christian, you know, I think the first bit of trials that I went through, I thought something strange is happening. What's going on? I had no idea what James says or Peter says about trials, you know, fiery trials. Had no concept of that at all. I think I naively thought that I'm going to place my faith in Christ and my life is going to be smooth sailing, you know. And I think the trials began right away. And I'm so glad that I had seasoned brothers and sisters that came along and said, you know, think it not strange when you fall into fiery trials. This is not a strange thing. This is the way it is for the believer. You know, guys, sometimes we end up in the Valley of Baca because of our own doing. I think of David. David, after his sin with Bathsheba, reading from Psalm 6, I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. That sounds like someone who's in that valley of Baca. And he's there because of his own doing, right? Isn't it amazing to consider that whole sin with Bathsheba, that Uriah was one of his mighty men? That's mind-blowing. These mighty men that you admire, you know, yeah, these men that love David so much that they would risk their lives so that he could drink from the well, you know, of his hometown, you know, and yet he did this to one of his mighty men. Sad. Sometimes we end up in the Valley of Baca because others bring us down there. And sometimes we end up in the Valley of Baca because it's the Lord's will that we're there. I want you to think for a moment. Your time, maybe you could think of a time when you've been in the Valley of Baca. I want you to think, was it a beneficial time? Was it a time of spiritual growth? I would venture to say, yes, it was a time of great spiritual growth. If you are seeking the Lord, even if you're seeking the Lord when something like this, Lord, what is going on? Lord, why have you abandoned me? Lord, why are these horrible things happening to me? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. I want you to note something, because it is kind of depressing to say, well, Baca, so we all have to go through the Valley of Baca. I think that we'll go through the Valley of Baca many times in our pilgrimage, but this is important, and please don't miss this. Baca is a valley we will pass through in this life, but we don't have to make it our home. We don't have to, you know, set the stakes down deep in our tent and say, well, this is it. This is my lot for life. This is how it's going to end, you know, just bitter and sour and everything else. You guys know it. Psalm 30, verse 5, the second part of it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Don't you wish it was that fast? It's rarely that fast. But the point is that weeping is a passing thing. Eventually, joy will return if we're seeking the Lord. If we must pass through the Valley of Baca, what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do while we're there? And the answer is found. Look what it says. Make it a spring. Make it a spring. Or dig a well. If you're in the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Weeping, tears flowing from your eyes, dig a well. What? Why? Dig a well. That's your part. That's my part. Dig a well. God's part is that he will cover it with pools. And in your Bible, you'll see there's probably a note next to that word pools, and it says blessings. That's God's part. Our part, dig wells. His part, he covers it with pools, with blessings. The Living Bible reads, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of springs where pools of blessing and refreshment collect after rains. Are you confused yet? Are you wondering why in the world would we make it a spring or a well? Why? You know, guys, I am convinced that this is speaking of fellowship. Fellowship. If we're passing through, if we pass through the Valley of Baca, surely others will pass through the Valley of Baca behind us. Fellowship. Paul wrote, you guys know this as well, but I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the first or verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations or troubles. For what reason? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The springs, the wells that we dig, the pools of blessings that are left behind. Maybe it's a greater appreciation of God's grace and mercy. Maybe it's a greater confidence in his ability to strengthen us in our weakness. Maybe it's a greater awareness of God's willingness to be with us as we pass through the low places of this life. Guys, I don't need to tell you, but, you know, it was tragic when churches were shut down, wasn't it? And those in power say, well, you know, you could still do church, you just can't have people there. And you could do it live stream, you know. People could sit at home in their jammies and watch it on the tube, you know. And it's the same thing, but it's not the same thing. Because the worship is a small part. The teaching of the word is a small part. But fellowship is a part of the whole thing as well, isn't it? Because we don't just sit and listen to teachings all day. We want to fellowship with one another. As we're fellowshipping with one another, hopefully we're transparent and we're willing to listen to other people and kind of the struggles that they're going through. And we're able to share with them maybe struggles that we've gone through and how the Lord was faithful. Think of that. Think of a time in your life when maybe you're going through a trial, a really bad trial. You're in the Valley of Baca. You thought it would never end. And there you were. And you came out. And you say something like this: I don't want to ever do that again. A number of years ago, quite a while now, I had brain surgery at St. Joseph. It took me back. You know, I was raised Roman Catholic, and being in St. Joseph, it was both comforting and scary with the nuns. Only Catholics will get that. Ex-Catholics. But, you know, I had friends that came, and they would visit me when I was still in the hospital. And one of my friends said, he said, yeah, you were out of it. And he goes, you probably don't remember, but I was there when you first got out of surgery. And he said, the very first thing you said is, I don't want to ever have to do that again. You know, I mean, why would you want to do something like that again? But that's how trials are. They're difficult. They're hard. I don't want to go through that, Lord. I don't want to feel lonely, Lord. I don't want to feel abandoned, Lord. I don't want to be sick, Lord. I don't want to, you know, whatever it is. But you know, guys, the Lord is working in us a beautiful thing. The Lord wants us, I believe, to be like him, you know, to have compassion like he has. Now, of course, we're never going to reach that level of his compassion or understanding or love or anything like that. But obviously, we're his disciples. A disciple is to be like their teacher, their rabbi. Our rabbi happens to be God in the flesh. But we pray things, oh Lord, make me more like you. And prayers like that, I think, please the heart of God. And he says, okay, hold on, you know. And then we go through these difficult things and we wonder, what in the world, why is this happening? And that's why we need to be people of the word, because when we go to the scriptures and we begin to read the things that Jesus went through and we begin to say, oh, I get it, I understand, Lord. Not that I could even come close to the things that you went through, but you're allowing me just to touch a little bit of it, to experience just a little bit of it. David learned the importance of the presence of God with him, in his presence, when he was going through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you remember that? Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. I am convinced that sometimes, because we're just stubborn or dull spiritually, I'm convinced that the Lord allows us to spend time in different valleys. Maybe the Valley of Baca, he allows us to be there so that we might recognize his presence. So that we could come through the other side and say, I wouldn't have made it, I wouldn't have survived if the Lord was not with me. I know that he was with me. Father wants our time in Baca to be beneficial for us, but he also wants it to be beneficial for those around us. Fellowship. What are you going through, brother? I hear you're having a hard time, sister. Listening to people. Letting them tell you of their woes, the struggles that they're going through. You know, guys, this is kind of a, you know, dangerous thing, because it takes transparency, doesn't it? Have you ever been transparent? I already know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Have you ever been transparent, and then it seems like people just stomped all over your transparency, and you said to yourself, I will never do that again. We've all experienced that. I'll never do that again. I'll never open up. I'll never be transparent. They're using this thing against me. I'm convinced that the outcome depends on the outlook while we're in the valley. Let me explain what I mean. Here's the outlook. My soul longs, yes, even faints. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's the outlook we should have. Look at verses 8 and 9. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Look at it. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold, look, our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. Have you ever been there? I think we've all been there. Maybe you are in the Valley of Baca right now. Maybe you've been there for a while. And if you've been there for a while, you need to remind yourself that you're just passing through. You're just passing through. Earlier this year, my mother went home to be with Jesus, you know. I never thought that I would be able to say those words because my mother was so resistant toward the gospel. My mother surrendered her life to Christ in her 80s. It was after my father died, and it was almost as if the Lord just kind of used a series of events, and it caused her to say, is it religion or is it relationship? And my mother received the Lord and she was baptized. That was huge for her. My mother was scared to death of, she would take baths and stuff, but she was scared to death of having her head underwater. So that was like a real big event, when she was baptized. She went to the 412 church down in San Jacinto, Tom Hughes. She loved her church. My mother was legally blind, so she could not read the scriptures, but she would listen to the scriptures. And my mom, I would talk to her every week, and her insight was mind-blowing for someone who was, in essence, a baby in Christ. She had just received the Lord. She couldn't read the scriptures. She was just listening to the scriptures. And she would just ask questions, and oh, Mom, boy, that's a great insight. Wonderful, beautiful, Toward the end of her life, she says, I'm done. I know where I'm going. I want to go home. Do you have that same assurance? I hope you do. I hope that you've placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because if not, all of these things are just, they're just words on a page. They don't mean anything. But if you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within you, these things are resonating with you, and you're saying, yes, yes. There are hard times that we go through in this life, but we're just passing through. It will end. Maybe, I don't want to bum you out, but I've got to say it. Maybe you're not in the Valley of Baca, but maybe you're about to go into the Valley of Baca. We never know what each day may bring, do we? But we know this. We can know with certainty that he is with us and that he will bring us from strength to strength. That's what the psalmist wrote. From strength to strength. I believe that we are almost done with our race. I believe that Jesus is coming for his bride. Do you? Yes, I see the smiles on your face. Are you waiting with great expectation? Sometimes I find myself getting up in the middle of the night. I just kind of sit on the edge of the bed and I'll just talk to the Lord. Lord, tonight would be a night, great time, We just want to be in your presence. We want to be in that place where we are secure in you. I think the beautiful thing, when you look at the scriptures and you study Bible prophecy, once we're with Jesus, we will never not be with Jesus. Think of that. Does that comfort you? Jesus is coming. But there may be some valleys that we have to pass through before that time. And so when we find ourselves in those low places, we never know what's coming, do we? I mean, you know, I went into a grocery store last night. My wife and I, we live in Coopville on Whidbey Island, and went into the little grocery store there in Coopville. And I was looking around, and I was the only one there not covered, if you know what I mean. And I thought, oh, gosh, did I miss the memo? What happened? Well, all of our family, we were in Oregon last week for our family vacation, our children and our 14 grandchildren, and it was just a wonderful time. But coming back to little Coopville and thinking, boy, maybe I missed the memo, you know. And we're kind of living in days like that. We just don't know what's coming next. And I don't know about you. Maybe you're much stronger than I am. But I need to draw strength from the Lord each and every day. If you're going through the Valley of Baca, if you're going through difficulties, if you've been in a season of weeping, just say to yourself, this is not my home, this will pass. If you're going through it, remind yourself that he's with you. And sometimes I think that his presence is known and felt more in the hard times than in the easy times. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I don't know them, but we are related, and we will spend eternity together, Lord. And we could hardly wait. But I pray for them, Lord. I don't know them, but you know each one intimately. We pray for those, Lord, that are really going through it, going through difficult times. Would you strengthen them, Lord? As they're crying out to you, as they're wondering why, and they're asking how are we going to get through this, Lord, that you would just comfort their hearts. Even though the situation has not changed, it remains the same, but we could still have that peace, and that's what we're asking for. For our brothers and sisters, especially those that are really going through it right now, would you comfort their hearts? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.